do that. But I think maybe there are some things that you're going to want to just follow along with. And I have a lot of scriptures in this message today. Imagine that it's church and we're going to talk about scripture, but I have a lot of scriptures that we're going to look at today. And we've been on the subject of the Holy Spirit. It's a big subject. In fact, we've been saying that as the Father is to creation, as the Son is to salvation, so the Holy Spirit is to the Christian life. There are 800 references to the Holy Spirit in the Bible, 800 references. So it's not something that we can just cover really quickly. It takes a lot of conversation about this because there's a lot to know and a lot to learn. And for us to understand and fathom God, who is unlimited, God is unlimited. I am limited. Like, I'm limited. God's not. Like, I have a lot of limitations, but God does not. Just look at the person sitting next to you and say, I have some limitations, but God does not. Interestingly, there are a lot of people in this world, and Craig, if I could just get a little bit more of this right up front here. If there are a lot of people in this world who, when you start to talk about like some concepts, and maybe even this one, they're like, if I can't see it, if I can't understand it, if you can't prove it, if you don't have a scientific equation, if there's not something that you can do to reproduce it in front of me over and over again, then it just must not be so. And if I can't see it and don't believe it, then I'm just going to live my life as though it doesn't exist. And there are a lot of people that they kind of live their life that if you can't prove it to them, they can't see it, they live their life as though it just doesn't exist. But I was talking with a friend of mine, and we were talking about people that don't believe in God. And if you don't believe in God, let me just say, I'm so glad you're here today. Like, of all the places that you could be, that you chose to be with us here on this Sunday morning, thank you for being here. And if you're just questioning God, or maybe you think there's a God and you're not exactly sure what this looks like, I hope that maybe you're going to get some answers even today. Because a lot of people say, like, I believe in science, but I'm not sure that I believe in God because I can't see him. Now, the interesting thing about it, as far as I'm concerned, is I was talking with a friend of mine one time, and he said something, and it became something I'm convinced of. He's a brilliant man, a scientist, a businessman, and he's one of the smartest people I've ever met. And I can tell you, if you could meet him, you'd know he's one of the smartest people you've ever met. And he said, it would be short-sighted to believe that there's nothing that exists in the universe outside of what we see and what we already know. It would be short-sighted for us not to believe that there are things outside of the realm of what we understand. And so for us to deny the existence of something just because we don't see it or don't understand it, for us to say, I don't believe in it, then it would actually, he said, like, for people who claim themselves to be intelligent, he said, it actually wouldn't, his words were, it would be dumb not to believe that there's something that exists that you don't see. And so I got to thinking about that. And what I got to thinking, kind of translated down to me, was, That would mean that the only things that exist are the things that are things I understand. That the only things that exist in all the universe are the things that science can prove or that I understand. And like, really, that would be really small. Like, we wouldn't even adventure to even make new discoveries because we would just settle with the only things that exist are the things that I know and understand. And then consequently, the universe would be measured by my ability to understand. And so it would be really short-sighted, as far as I'm concerned, to insist that the only things that exist are the things that I know, the things that I can see, the things that I can prove. If I can't see it, if I can't understand, then it doesn't exist. And that would be, as far as I'm concerned, really, really small. It would really be like, you would be so limiting. So as far as I'm concerned, the most intelligent position would be that there are things that I can't see. There are things that I can't understand. There are things that I don't even know. that exist outside of my realm of intelligence, that exist outside of my realm of understanding. And then that means that if you can get yourself to say that there are things outside of my realm of understanding that quite possibly, then there is a being, a God. There is a work that takes place that maybe you don't understand or that you cannot see, but maybe, quite possibly, there is a God. And if there's a God, then quite possibly he knows more than you do. Then quite possibly he has power that you don't understand. And as far as I'm concerned, when it comes like right down to faith, truly, faith is saying there are things about God. There are things about his work. There are things about what he does that I don't even have to understand them. I don't need to understand to believe. There are a lot of things I don't understand that I believe anyway. Have you ever gone on the internet and Googled Excedrin? If you've ever done Excedrin, they bring up the name and the brand, and then when you click on some of the links, they'll begin to show you the molecular composition. And honestly, once it goes too far, like I took science in high school, and that was about 10 years ago. Here's the thing about it is I don't have to understand when I have a headache that Excedrin has a molecular composition that mixes with the molecular composition of my brain. I don't need to understand that. I just need an Excedrin when I have a headache. Anybody say, well, you know what I'm talking about. Like, but there are some things that like I can believe in that I don't have to fully understand. I know it's there. And I may not be able to comprehend all of it. But I know it's there, and that's the way it is with faith. Like, I know that there's a God. I know that he has power. I know that he's doing stuff beyond where I am. And for me to limit God to just what I understand, here's what I've learned. I'm not smarter than God. Like, I'm just not smarter than him. He's smarter than me. Like, he has things that I can't see or understand. It would be foolish to limit God and limit God's power to my lack of ability to understand something. So here's what the Christian faith is all about. We're on a journey. We're on a journey to discover God and discover his power and discover his greatness and maybe discover the plan that he has for us. From the beginning of the series, we've been talking that there are three attributes about God. Three attributes about the Holy Spirit that we've discussed many times. And here they are. Are you ready? He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. Omniscient means he knows everything. He's omnipresent means he is everywhere. He's omnipotent means he has all the power. Can I break these down just for a second? He's omniscient, that he knows everything. He knows what you need. He knows what's ahead. He knows what your roadblocks are, and he knows where he's taking you to. He's omnipresent, and I love this one. That means that he's not limited. Because, see, okay, if God were limited to one place or one space, then whatever it is that could limit God, whether it's time, whether it's a building, whether it's a location, if he would be limited, then that would mean that whatever has the ability to limit him has the power over him. And there's nothing that has power over God. And so he's omnipresent. And the good thing about that, that means like, well, I'm praying here today and I'm praying for a family member in Pennsylvania. I'm praying for a friend somewhere in Kansas. That means while he's fully God here right now, he's also fully God right there. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And here's the last one. He's omnipotent. And that means he has all power. There's nothing that has power over him. And so let me ask you a question. Isn't that the kind of God you'd really want to serve? Like, why would you want a God that has something that has power over him? Like, you'd want to serve a God that really has power. And then if you said, well, I'm not sure I want to serve God, then you're back to that place where I'm not sure that there's a power that's bigger than what I know or understand. But we understand that God does things, he says things, he moves in ways that we don't fully understand, and we're trying to discover what he does. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and the 19th verse. Has anybody ever met a know-it-all? Anybody ever met a know-it-all? Please don't elbow anybody. Yeah, there we go. There's people like already like, you know. The truth is, none of us know it all. But there's somebody who does. 1 Corinthians 2:19. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. It hasn't even, we don't even have the ability to comprehend. Our eye hasn't seen, our ear hasn't heard what God is up to. Where God works is in a thing called his kingdom. Like, he has a kingdom that he works in. And his kingdom is a realm outside of the realm that we can fully see. His kingdom is not different from any other kingdom. You get born into a kingdom, you become a citizen in a kingdom. In every kingdom, there's a culture. In every kingdom, there's a way of doing things. In every kingdom, there's a financial structure. In every kingdom, there's a language. And so, in the realm of consideration, in all that God knows, maybe it would be good for us to lean into know more of his kingdom, to find out more about him and participate in the kingdom. If he has all the power, he has all the knowledge, and then he has everything, then maybe even if we don't understand it, we ought to lean into his kingdom. Here are the things that we do know of him. We know he's disclosed some things of himself. He's disclosed of himself that he's good. He's disclosed of himself that there's no evil in him. And if he's good, then that means that if he's working a plan, and he has a plan, if he's working a plan, then his plan is good. And here's the awesome thing, is that if you're in his kingdom, then his plan is good for you. Like, it's a good plan. When you're in his kingdom and his plan is working, he's working good for you. It's good for you. Here's what Romans 8 and 28 says. Doesn't matter what the world looks like. Doesn't matter what's going on. We know that all things are working together for... Somebody say it. Somebody say it with me. All things are working together for... good. To those that are the called according to his plan. Like, his purpose. Like, he's working a thing. And if he's working a thing in his kingdom, even if you can't see it, even if you can't understand it, that means he's doing something. And that means it's good for you. Somebody say, it's good for me. He's working good for you. He has a purpose, and sometimes it might not be convenient, and sometimes it might not feel good, but maybe if we can look past this moment, or maybe even if it looks a little bit odd, if we can look past this moment, then we know he's working down the road, because he's not limited to this moment. And so if he's working a plan, then everything that God does is revolving around his plan. Like, God, everything God does is revolving around his kingdom and around his plan, and he's transforming us. So here's what we try to do. Are you ready? We try to figure out God, and then we try to control God, and then we try to manipulate God. And here's the dilemma with that is once we can figure something out, completely figure something out, then we can control it and we can manipulate it. Here's the deal is, like, we've studied the laws of aerodynamics, and as soon as we can figure the laws of aerodynamics out, then we can figure out how to get a plane to get off the ground. We can control the laws of aerodynamics and manipulate them so that we can lift off a plane off the ground. So we become, are you ready, the power over the laws of aerodynamics. Here's the dilemma with this. Once we figure everything out about God, we think we can then control him and manipulate him. But here's the problem is our mind is too small. We can't understand everything about God. And you wouldn't want a God so small that you could figure out and control and manipulate. Somebody say, I'm not smarter than God. So he's working a plan, and it's all about his kingdom. It's everything about his kingdom. When we come into his kingdom, then we're working his plan. Also, sometimes in life you go like, why doesn't God do something about that? Why doesn't God do something about that? And why doesn't God, like, I don't understand. Here's the deal. It's just that he's doing stuff. You're just not seeing it. Like, it might not be time for you to see it yet. It might not be something that you'll even understand. But he's working it because he's good. And because he's good, he's working his kingdom for our good. There were times when the disciples were with him, they didn't understand what he was doing. Jesus was having a moment with his disciples, and Jesus gets down and starts to wash someone's feet, and they're like, no, Jesus, don't understand what you're doing. And Jesus says, unless you allow me to wash your feet, you can have no part. Jesus, I don't understand it, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. Jesus tells his disciples, I'm going to go into Jerusalem, and there I'm going to be betrayed, and there I'm going to be crucified and on the third day. No, Jesus, don't even mention it. I don't understand that. But Jesus had a bigger plan that was going on. Jesus said, it's necessary for me to go back to the Father. And if I go back to the Father, no, Jesus, no, stay with us. Jesus said, it's necessary for me to go back to the Father. And if I go back to the Father, I have a plan that I'm working. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to come and dwell in you and live with you. And we want you. But this is what he says, John 16, verse 7. I tell you the truth, it is good for you. It's good for you. Somebody say it's good. It's good for you that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you. I love this in John 14, verse 16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Advocate, and he will be with you forever. Oh, man, he's going to come and stay with us forever. Can't understand it fully, but he's going to come and stay with us forever. How about this one? John 14, verse 26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you of all things and will remind you of everything that I have said. So the Holy Spirit is a teacher. He's going to give us insight into God's kingdom. He has all power. We were created for his kingdom. So when the Apostle Paul writes these words in Ephesians, the 5th chapter and the 18th verse, don't be drunk with wine that leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit, because in the kingdom of God, being filled with the Spirit gives you access to the power of God, the knowledge of God, the understanding of God, the workings of God. And if he's doing it, somebody say, it's good. It's good. So be filled with his Spirit, and it's going to be good. Now, so today I want to talk to you for just a few moments, and I want to talk to you about the first week we were talking about who God is and the person of who he is. And then last week we were talking about his purposes. Today, I want to talk to you about the power of God. And I'm going to talk about something maybe that for some folks, it's a little bit of an odd conversation, but God in his kingdom has good things for us. And although we are limited, the work he wants to do in us and through us is not limited. So he gives us gifts. I mean, they're exactly that. They're gifts. And there are a few gifts, and I want you to write these down if you would. There are three gifts I want you to kind of observe. The first one is the gift of eternal life. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. In Romans 6, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Man, if you've not received the gift of God of eternal life, today would be an awesome day for you to enter into the kingdom of God and let him just, like, you buy into what God's doing. Man, your life will change forever because he's doing something that's bigger than you can see. Here's the second thing, the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said in Acts, the first chapter, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for my gift that the Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, is a gift for us. And here's the third gift. Are you ready? The gifts, the workings of the Holy Spirit. Let me back up, because I'm going to give these to you real quickly. The Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, empowers me to live righteously. The Holy Spirit empowers me to live supernaturally. The Holy Spirit empowers me to live on mission. Like, I live my life out on mission. He gives me power, he gives me insight, and then I live with a purpose, like, because God has a plan, and if I'm in his kingdom, then his plan is good. So Here's the awesome thing about this is being filled with the Holy Spirit, and I love this, being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't make me better than you. It makes me better than me. I'll just say it again because thank you for that one amen. Being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't make me better than you. It makes me better than me. It gives me insight. It allows me to be the person that I'm supposed to be. So here's some warnings. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't stop the work of the Spirit in your life. Here's the other one. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. How you quench the Spirit is you just like, I don't want that. I don't want that work in my life. I'm not going to participate. Grieving the Holy Spirit would be to do something, go against Him, allow sin to come into your life. So don't quench or don't grieve the Holy Spirit. But He has gifts for you. And I'm going to take a few moments and I want to talk to you about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we talked a lot about specific gifts this past Wednesday night. But I want to talk to you about, there's a word in the New Testament and that word is charis. C-H-A-R-I-S. Charis. And it means grace. It's gifts that God graces us with. Can I go back to the thought about this? That if there's a God that quite possibly He has power and things that He does that's beyond our realm, that beyond our understanding, that if He has power and He's doing things beyond our understanding, that maybe if He gives us gifts, that they allow us to do things that are beyond our power or beyond our understanding. So the power that exists in Him then becomes, it comes into us, and that if God has power that exists outside of the natural world, then maybe that would be called, when we work in His power that's bigger than what we know or understand, that it would be supernatural. And everybody gets all kind of wigged out about the word supernatural, but it just simply means like it's bigger than the natural stuff that you can see. Like God's doing something supernatural, and He allows us to participate in His kingdom. So gifts of the Spirit are not natural talents. They're not something you can do in your nature. They're not something you can do naturally. They're beyond your capacity. They're supernatural gifts. I'm going to give you, you can fill this one in. Are you ready? A spiritual gift is a supernatural ability that God gives each of His children so that together we can advance His purposes in this world, that we're advancing His kingdom. Now, there's a lot of misunderstanding, and some of you are already kind of uncomfortable, and you've been squirming for a couple of weeks about this. It's like, I really don't want to talk about this because I know eventually you're going to get down to this subject of spiritual gifts. And Paul knew that was going to take place. The apostles knew that was going to take place. And here's what the apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. Because here's the deal, is he knows there's going to be confusion about it and misunderstanding. So I don't want you to be confused about this. I'm going to challenge you guys, everybody, if you would consider reading 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14 this week. There's so much that's said there. But let me read down a little bit further. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says this, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. I think we have a panel for this one. A spiritual gift is given to each of us. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. Somebody say, help each other. What's the purpose behind this? Is for us to help each other. Now, this is one of the places where much of the conversation about being filled with the Spirit, it gets awkward for some folks, and everybody wants to create some conversations about whether this takes place at the new birth or whether it takes place afterwards. If it takes place the second we receive Christ and we come into His kingdom, or if it takes place where this is, here's the deal. I want you to read with me, if you would, in Ephesians, the 8th chapter and the 5th chapter, 18th verse again. It says, be filled with the Spirit. Here's our problem is we get hung up on timetables, whether it's happening here, like can we debate whether it happened here, whether it's going to happen there, where's it going to happen? God's not interested in a debate. All He's interested in us getting to this place. Be filled with the Spirit. Can somebody say, be filled? Yeah. That's His concern. It didn't matter if it happened at the new birth or if you need to happen later on. Just How are you right now in this moment? Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you filled with the supernatural work of God? Because it's not a matter of, like, he wants to have all of you be filled with the Spirit. And there have been some people who have mismanaged this, and they've had all kinds of conversations, and there are other people who have done some weird stuff, and other people have dismissed it. But God wants us to be filled with the Spirit. And there are some aspects of spiritual gifts that has caused division in the body of Christ. But let me just tell you, we've made this too difficult. We've created too much confusion. And there are some things that God, I think, wants us to come back together. Here's one of the points of confusion. There are some people that say that the gifts of the Spirit ceased. That the gifts of the Spirit ceased when Jesus ascended back to the Father and when the apostles died. And so the interesting thing about that is let me just say, and there's a couple of lists of gifts. I'm going to give them to you right now. Here's three categories of gifts. Motivational gifts, that's found in Romans, the 12th chapter. It's prophesying and serving and encouragement and leading and teaching and giving and mercy. What, like, seriously, like, we're okay with those gifts. Like, even the people that are cessationists, they think things have ceased. I'm still okay with those, so we'll keep those, okay? And then there are some that, like, there's ascension gifts. These are the ones that Jesus said when he was ascending back to the Father. It's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And then they're like, oh, well, I'm going to keep a couple of those. I'm not going to keep them all. I'm going to keep evangelists and pastors and teachers, but I'm going to give up the apostles and prophets. And here's my deal, is this like the spiritual gifts buffet? That, like, I'm going to have a little bit of that and a little bit of that and not any of that. But I'll just say this quickly. There are people that say apostles were the 11, first 11, and when the apostles, those 11 died, that apostleship went over. There are actually 20 people who are listed in the New Testament, that are not the 11 original apostles. So there are other apostles that are listed in the New Testament. Okay, so actually 42 references of apostles in the New Testament, 20 other people. So, but here's the third group, the manifestation gifts. And this is the one that messes with people the most. Knowledge and wisdom. And honestly, like, everybody's okay with knowledge and wisdom, like faith, but then you get down to like healing and miracles, like the gift of miracles went away. So can I just logically say this to you? If we believe that when the apostles died, the first 11 apostles died, that the gifts of miracles went away, then that means, seriously, if even one miracle has taken place in the last 2,000 years, that the gift of miracles hasn't gone away. If even just one act of power has taken place in 2,000 years, then the gift of miracles didn't go away. Okay, and then if we're keeping gifts, then we get down to the one that it's the monkey wrench in this for a lot of people, and that's the one that says speaking in tongues. Like, okay, I was with you. We want some wisdom, and we want some. Yeah, I have some friends that need a miracle, yeah, we'll take the apostles and teaching and whatever, you know, but seriously, the speaking in tongues, that's just too, it's too far outside of my realm of understanding. So if I can't understand it, it just must not be so. Could it be, honestly, that there is something outside of our understanding, outside of our realm of intelligence, that actually exists that we just would deny it simply because it doesn't seem logical to us? And yet that quite possibly there's something that God does in his kingdom that's bigger than what we know. Let me make a point about this. When we get to heaven, what language are we going to speak? Get old-fashioned American English. Good? English. Well, can I say this? English is limited. there are things like, there are words we don't have that other languages have that are better. There are words that we don't even have things to describe them. So English is a limited language. So thank God when we get to heaven, it must going to be Spanish. Yeah, can somebody say, Do you understand that Spanish is a limited language? Do you understand that? Everybody with me so far? Okay, so now here's where I'll take the turn, and I just want you to bear with me for just a few moments. Could it be that if God isn't limited, that there's a language that God has in the heavens that is not limited? I mean, could it be that there's a language that you don't understand or you don't get that's bigger than your vocabulary? And yet, have you ever considered that Paul, and we say this scripture at every wedding just about, 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the chapter about love, though I speak with tongues of men and, wait. Paul says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels. So, quite possibly, could there be a language that angels use that doesn't have the limitations of our English vocabulary? Somebody said, well, that went away. I'm going to read this passage and then I'm going to close in just a minute here. Because I know I've scared some of you and that's good. It's kind of my job to make you uncomfortable. So here's the deal. So can I tell you, like, these are not laws like you're going to have to do this. Are you ready? They're called gifts. I mean, it's just that simple. It's like a gift. Like, I have people that bought me a mixer. It's still in the box. Like, it's a gift. Doesn't mean, but here's the deal is if it comes time for me to make something and I'm making a cake or making something in my house and I'm like, man, this is a lot of work. Maybe I ought to consider that there's a gift in a box that I ought to take out of the box that could make my work easier, my life easier, the work that I'm accomplishing in this world. So here's what Paul says to Timothy. There are some people, and the big controversy is like, do you receive spiritual gifts at the new birth or do you receive them afterwards? And very candidly, I don't care about that argument. You know what my only care is that right now, at this moment, are you operating in gifts? Like, are you giving God the freedom to do something beyond what you know? And like, here's the deal is if all you have in your life is your talent and your abilities, then you're stuck with all that you can do. But maybe if there's something that God wants to do in this world that's bigger than you, that has a good thing, that's beyond your comprehension, that maybe you ought to just lean in and let Him do that work in you and through you by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it doesn't matter if you received it here or if you received it here. Here's what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, sixth verse. For this reason, I remind you to fan the flame, the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. So some people, including Timothy, obviously had somebody lay hands on them and they received the gift of God. Timothy was already a believer. He grew up in a believing household. Read the verse right before it. He grew up in a believing household, and yet somebody then laid hands on him and he received gifts. So here he says, fan the flames. The whole point of my entire message today, are you ready? Is just fan the flame. Just lean in and let God do a work in you and through you that might be bigger than what you understand. and help you accomplish something in this world that's not just good for you, but it's good for the rest of the world, like he wants to do something to you. Here's my three challenges and I'm going to close. Discover the gifts that God has for you. We can help you with that. Like, we've got a spiritual gifts assessment. You can figure out what God's been doing in your life. Number two, develop the gifts that God has for you. And here's the last one. Are you ready? Use whatever gifts. Like, you don't have to have the gift that I have. Come on. You can use whatever gift God gives you. But the Bible does say covet gifts. Like, you ought to earnestly desire gifts. So simply say yes. I'm going to ask you to say yes. If you've not received Christ as your Savior, will you say yes to him today? And if you've received Christ, will you say, just say yes, God. I might not understand it, but I can understand that there's a work that you want to do that's bigger. And if you have gifts for me, like, I'll say yes to your gifts. That's it. Okay. I want to pray with you this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you, Lord, and I thank you, God, for your blessings. I thank you for sending your Son, your Holy Spirit, your Son to bring us salvation. And if there's one person in this place today that hasn't received you and doesn't know you yet, Lord, I'm asking you, dear Lord, that they on this day would receive eternal life, that they would receive your power from heaven to live forever. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to pray this prayer in these next few moments. I'm going to ask you to say yes. Just simply say yes. Will you repeat after me? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge that Jesus is your only Son, and that he died on a cross, rose again to save me. Save me from myself. To save me from my sin. And to give me eternal life. I receive Jesus as my Savior today. I receive his eternal life. And from this day forward, I'll follow you. Hey, every person in this room, every head bowed, every eye closed, if you just prayed that prayer today and needed to pray that prayer today, you needed to take that step and enter into the kingdom of God. If you just prayed that prayer today, a new life just began for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. That's the last thing in the world I'd ever want to do. But if you just prayed that prayer so I could pray for you in the days ahead, could I see your hand right now? If you just prayed that prayer and you needed to pray that prayer, yes, I see it. Yes, I see it. Yeah, there are hands going up all over this room today. Hands going up all over this room. Man, you just made the best decision of your life. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you just made that decision, just those that just made that decision, will you open your eyes if you just made that decision? There's a card in the seat in front of you that says, I decided to follow Christ. And so, will you fill that card out and then turn it in at the end of today's service, either at the Starting Point Guest Center or walk down here and hand it to Pastor Jeff or myself? Because we want to help you start on this journey. Hey, give them a big hand and let them know they made a great decision. I just want to pray just a little bit farther. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. We're going to pray in further, like this coming Wednesday night. And just like Paul said, stir up the gift that's in you that was given to you by the laying on of hands. Like, we're going to pray for some folks Wednesday night. If you'd like to be here and be a part of that, and just come and stir up that gift. But maybe you've just never said yes to whatever it is that God has for your life, your work. And seriously, don't get hung up. I'm not hung up on one spiritual gift, so please don't get hung up on one spiritual gift. It's not the deal. It's just living your life filled with the Spirit. And so if you're ready to just say yes to the work that the Holy Spirit, and maybe even yes to any of the gifts that he has for you, will you say yes today? I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Every person in this room, just stand with me. And we did it last week, and just as a sign, I'm going to ask you to just put your hands out in front of you, maybe, and just kind of turn them up towards heaven as though like it's rain falling or Holy Spirit falling or whatever it is. And I just want you to pray with me for the next few moments and say yes. Say yes. Say yes to his work. Say yes to his work. Just pray along with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we receive all that you have for us. There are things that we don't understand that are beyond our understanding. But we know you understand. And we know you have good things for us. So we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. By faith, we receive him. And we receive his gifts. So, Lord, let your spiritual gifts work through us. Lord, let your gifts work through me. I receive what you have for me today. Just receive it. Just receive it. No, just receive it. Somebody praise him in this place today now that we've received him today. Go. We're going to sing this one more time before you head out of here today. Hallelujah.